I am Brandon of Twex.com, and I draw the pictures.
I'm Colin, and I write the words.
Wow.
That's awesome. That really is awesome.
That's very cool.
I like that.
Well, you clearly need to get a job at a dungeon, because that's the only way you're going to be able to merge the two lifestyles.
Did you know that software companies, as lenient as they are on dress code, do not allow assless chaps?
Really? I find that very surprising.
I know.
I mean, you would think that they would want to free up those creative juices.
That's what I'm saying, and it's the juices that would definitely be.
You had to say juices.
Exactly.
You had to say juices. Oh, God. Well, then without further ado, Twex Podcast. Apparently, we've now started to delve into the world of bondage, S&M, assless chaps, and juices.
It's a good way to start off the podcast.
Although, I prefer to think that we're going to talk about creative juices.
Oh, God. You're fired.
It's really the same, though, if you think about it. It all comes from the same gland.
So. Oh, God. What gland are we talking about now? Oh, wow. I'm Brandon of Twex.com, and I draw the pictures.
I'm Colin of Twex.com, and I write the words.
And I am Matt of ObserveToExist.com, with two hyphens in those three words, and I write and draw the comic.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, thank you.
So congrats on your 1 year.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. I almost forgot about it, actually.
Well, because I saw your tweet, and it's like, oh, yeah. It's 1 year today. Guess I should have done something for the... You guys get a comic. Shut up.
Yeah, right. It's funny. I actually forgot twice because I forgot yesterday when my bill came up for the domain name. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I bought this domain for a year, and that's tomorrow. Cool. Got to get on that. Wake up the next morning, 12 hours go by, or, you know, 4 hours go by. And, yeah, no memory at all of that revelation.
we've come close to forgetting some of our milestones.
Yeah.
But it would have been really funny because we come in to start doing like a little bit of extra research for the podcast. Like, oh, what? I can buy the domain?
yeah, it's funny. Yesterday at like 5 o'clock, I've been getting these, because I'm a horribly irresponsible person, just in general, in life, and I've been getting these emails from HostGator that were confusing to me because, you know, I'd already paid the hosting for that month, and I was like, why are they getting on my case for this, you know, charge that I don't need to pay? And so I just ignored it for weeks, and I, like, look at it yesterday, I'm like, what is this fucking email? So I open it up, and I go through the link, and I see that, like, my domain is expiring in, like, 2.5 hours.
Holy shit!
To exist will end as we know it if I don't pay this fucking thing.
So if you disappear all of a sudden one day, we'll just know it was because you know, forgot.
Yeah.
Well, no, and what I'm saying is I think that's an opportunity. We should make sure that we take the opportunity to buy it and you know, sell it back at a completely reasonable rate.
Of course. I actually had that random fear, too. I was like, what if it goes down for, like, a couple hours, and then somebody's like, oh, man, I'm going to go in there, buy up this domain, and fuck that dude over.
You know what? We joke, but it's the internet.
Count your enemies.
Yeah, exactly. But no, luckily, this is really sad, but I'm waiting for my next unemployment check, so I wasn't even able to pay it, so I had to call up my girlfriend at the 11th hour and be like, hey, how about that credit card you have, huh? these are the things I'm proud of.
It's the comic. It's the comic, goddammit. It needs to go back up.
Comic must stand.
Woman, don't question me about the comic.
Otherwise, these Twex guys are going to buy my domain. They're going to buy
it probably from some other country. I assume the Nigerians are just waiting for the day.
Well, we are from Canada, so it is some other country.
Oh, yeah. Let me just put in my obligatory Canadian race remark. Continue.
So yeah, we have to remind people of it every now and again, unless they can detect our accent for some reason, because we have one.
I never detected it until you said it in the podcast.
Right, but you're in New York.
Right.
You're close enough to us that you wouldn't notice. Anybody who's like further south or you know, opposite coast actually, is like, wow, you have such a Canadian accent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually grew up in Wisconsin, so I had a Midwestern accent for most of my life. So I guess I just don't hear it. I don't know.
I think Midwestern and Canadian are actually kind of close.
Yeah, they're very close.
To be honest.
It's like, yeah, they're basically retarded cousins.
Oh, now don't you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, isn't that nice?
That's just so nice.
Yeah, I think the difference between Canadian accents and Midwestern accents is that the men also sound like that in Canada.
Snap.
Wow.
That's just so accurate.
Yeah, I'll go home and I won't hear the accent with any of my friends, and I'll see like the one girl that, you know, that I see that week, and it's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? How's New York? And it's just, oh my God. So yeah. Yeah. So you know.
Oh yeah, we do. We definitely. Yeah. Nobody has ever commented on that at all.
You know, I told myself I wouldn't bring up the Canada thing, but
that's okay. We usually bring it up.
That was our fault this time. Completely. Webcomics.
Oh, before we go into webcomics, I just want to say this thing you call poutine. I don't know what kind of French crap that is, but it's called disco fries in America.
What? What?
That's just wrong.
The fuck is a disco fry?
You know, actually, let me rephrase that. It might be a New York thing because I didn't know about it until I moved out here. So,
disco fries.
Like a local thing. But it's the same exact thing. I was like, what the hell is this poutine that they keep talking about?
Yeah, but wait, hold up. So let's break this down for a second before we get to webcomics.
Okay.
Because this is important.
Yeah.
Is it, okay, so is it French fries?
French fries,
like
check.
A beef gravy, and all of that is
just
over
gravy.
Top of,
it doesn't have to be beef gravy.
Okay.
It's gravy.
And cheese curds?
All right, so here's the one thing that it differs is that it's not necessarily cheese curds. It's just like melted cheese.
No, sorry.
No, okay, hold on. We do have poutine here that is melted cheese.
Yeah,
if you ask anybody who feels strongly about the subject, it's got to be curds.
Okay. So the curds are just whole curds mixed in with the bunch?
Yeah. It's hunks of cheese curd.
It's usually kind of broken up a little
bit. How do I describe it? Yeah, they're squeaky, stringy. They melt, they string. They're fantastic.
It's so good.
That's what makes a poutine a poutine.
Otherwise, they're just disco fries.
Disco fries. I'm not gonna lie, that sounds somehow more disgusting than disco fries. When you congeal the cheese into a solid form, somehow that makes it more shameful.
But it's all stringy and oh man, so yeah. I wish I was eating it right now.
I wish I was eating it too. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Damn disco fries. Disco fries. You kids, get out of here with your disco and your rock and roll.
Pop music.
Your pop music. Get off my lawn, God damn it.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I guess it's, like, not super well known. So it's not, I tell you back, it's not an American thing. Because I'll actually go to diners, even in New York City, and be like, can I get disco fries? And they'll be like, what the hell is that? And I'll just be like, you know, put some cheese on that shit with some gravy, and that's my fries for the day.
Level with us, you totally made up disco fries.
I did not make up disco fries.
When
I first came to know them, I was like blown away. I was like, this is the best combination of flavors that could ever exist.
It really is. It's pretty fantastic. Okay, so now we'll start.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Tell us about Observe to Exist.
Yes. Next question. So Observe to Exist is a comic that updates 3 days a week. Usually consists of strange manifestations of the thoughts that occur within my head. I hear that's a new thing going around, so I'm trying to copyright that. and it doesn't really follow any like story structure or story arc or anything like that, but it does feature the same characters, which is kind of like an accident. I kind of fell into that. Just got used to drawing the same characters, and over time they became clearly representations of me and my friends, and I kind of had to accept that eventually. But yeah, it's really just more of like a goofy, silly, random, quirky comic.
Would you consider it to be a journal comic, or if it is, only by accident?
It's totally by accident. I mean, well, here's the thing, though. Okay, so when I started, I wrote like maybe 5 or 6, you know, comics, like way in my the infancy of my talents or whatever you want to call them. And so they were like ballpoint pen on paper, right, that I scanned in the computer. And they were just completely random. They had no consistency. They didn't feature the same characters. I drew a character that I guess looked like me to my girlfriend. And like when I posted it, she's like, oh, you look so cute in this drawing. And I was like, what? And I had to like look at it and I was like, oh yeah, I guess this does look like me kind of. So I don't know. Then I started doing that more and more. And see, the thing is like it could be a journal comic because I do draw from inspiration in my own life. But at the same time, I spend a lot of time trying to write random things that have nothing to do with my life. So it kind of varies. Yeah, you know, 50-50, I would say.
Nice. What's the significance behind the name?
Well, it was kind of spur of the moment. It was really just like what I was thinking of that day. I don't know. Like I started it last year in March, and I've been wanting to do a webcomic for a really long time. So when I finally just launched into it, I was like really excited to get it up on the web. So I had to like quickly create a domain name. So yeah, I didn't really think about it for too long. But at the time, I had just finished reading and watching like documentaries and articles about, you know, like quantum physics, and I was getting really into it. And I'm not a science buff at all, so I often feel guilty about the title because the reference is scientific, and I feel like people might get the wrong impression.
So how much do you science?
I science about once a month.
Okay, yeah. Then, yeah, that's, you know, a moderate sciencing.
That's like me, you know, trolling the internet. I find that really funny meme that refers to some meteor that crashed into the planet. And then I look online and watch a couple YouTube videos about it. That's about the extent of my sciencing.
Nice. I like it.
But yeah, no, so like quantum physics, it was about, I was really into the idea of, you know, being an observer in your environment, reality being tied to the observance of reality, and all these things, and how different atoms, you know, different like particles, I guess, react differently when observed. And it was just really interesting, and I started like thinking like really creatively about like the laws of physics, and like how if you break it down, it's really just math, and if you break down a video game, it's just math, and the user in a video game is kind of like the user in reality, and you're kind of like part of this huge computer program called life, and it's exciting. And I was like, bam, observetoexist.com.
Wow.
You got all deep.
I was like,
holy
shit, that's deep.
Yeah. It was a moment in my life.
Shit.
But no, I actually like it a lot because it does have that reference to the science behind it. And by the way, this is all theoretical science, so if you're a science dude that knows stuff about science, please do not think that I know what I'm talking about,
because
I don't.
Well, because some people science every day.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy.
You don't science as often as they do, and I get that.
Yeah.
So we'll accept that.
Yeah, we can accept it, move on. But so I like it because it has that reference, but I also like it because it kind of lends towards like observational humor, and a lot of my humor comes from that, so it has like a dual meaning, I guess, now.
Right on. So yeah. You said you wanted to do a webcomic for a long time, and that's you know, sometimes that's the case, sometimes that's not, sometimes just, you know, all of a sudden, yeah. I started one. Why did you want to do one for a long time, and why now, or a year ago, I should say?
Yeah. well, you know, I guess in high school, I started reading Cyanide and Happiness. That was the first comic, I guess, web comic that I started reading. I don't know if you know it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was reading that for a while. And that was really the only thing I was reading. And then when I got into college, I met one of my best friends, Alex, and he's actually the bearded guy, not the, well, anyways, he's the guy with the bigger beard in the comic. But yeah, so he got me into Penny Arcade, and, you know, everyone reads Penny Arcade and loves it, so I was doing that for a couple of years, and then I started, like, finding, like, random webcomics here and there. One webcomic that, I don't know, you probably don't know about it, but it's called Ego and the Squid. He did a guest comic for me, actually, in November. But it's Ego and the Squid. It's about this guy. It's actually not about anything. It's just a slice-of-life comic with this guy and his ego. No, he is the ego, and then his best friend is the squid. So it's just, like, funny thing. But anyway, so I started reading that for a while. And I just started thinking, like, man, this is, like, some guy who lives in New York City who, like, posts a comic every day, and it's really funny. It's not, like, Penny Arcade at all, or Saturday Night Happiness, or any of these other webcomics, like PvP or whatever. And, like, I could totally do this. So I had it in my mind.
Don't tell anybody it's that easy.
Don't give away our secrets. But yeah, and I was also reading, Giant in the Playground. Oots, you know that?
I don't.
Order of the Stick. It's a D&D comic.
That
it's
one huge. I know.
What's that?
Order of the Stick.
Yeah. So they're, you know, huge. He's huge, obviously, Rich. And I started reading that for a couple of years. And my friend and Alex and I, we really wanted to do our own, like, D&D comic because, you know, we play D&D on a regular basis. We did at the time. And so, you know, we had all these ideas of putting our characters into webcomic form, but we weren't acting on it, you know? We were just kind of talking about it, you know, a lot, but not doing anything about it. And then eventually he moved out to Seattle and we stopped talking about it, but I still really wanted to do a webcomic. So then my other really good friend, Zach, who's the guy who has the hat and the beard in the comic, we were living together at the time, and I really wanted to do a webcomic with him because he was really funny and I was funny or whatever. And so we talked about it for a long time, and then nothing ever happened. And then finally one day, oh, and I guess there's also a little more, this is like a long ass story. But, and then, so this is like the funny part. This is the part about the origins of what was there to exist that I find hilarious. So, you know, I had just gotten a job out of college. And I had health insurance for, like, the first time in years. So I was really excited, and I was going to the doctor, you know, every day, getting blood tests, just making sure I was okay. After, like, 5 years of not having it. So I go in, and he's like, oh, man, you're, like, severely deficient in B12. And I was like, huh, crazy. What do we do about that? Yeah, so he's like, well, you got to come in, like, once a month for the next 6 months and get this, like, shot. Otherwise, you could, like, you know, faint, or you could get, like, real bad, like, nerve damage in your brain and, like, whatever. So I was like, oh, shit, okay. So I get my first shot that day. And by the next morning, I feel like the best I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, I wake up that morning feeling like, I don't know, Superman or some shit. I was just like, I was super jazzed. I had all this energy, which I hadn't had. Before that, I would lose focus a lot. And, like, I just thought I was stupid, but, you know, whatever. I would lose focus and I would, like, wouldn't be able to hold conversations. I'd have bad memory. Not, like, to an insane degree, but, like, enough to where I noticed that it was just, like, more difficult than I remember, you know, it always being in life. So as soon as I got that shot, I was just, like, back to, like, peak mode, Matt Witt, you know. So when that happened, I just felt compelled to do all the things that I've been putting off. And I kind of brought it up to my friends, and I was like, hey, you guys want to do that thing we've been talking about? Webcomics, let's do it. And they were like, no, maybe, let's think about it. We'll write some ones this week, maybe we'll do it. And I was just like, fuck that. Like, I'm too jazzed on life right now to not do this. So I just Google searched best ways to do a webcomic, WordPress, Comic Press, a couple of comics later, and that was it.
That's kind of awesome.
Okay, I'm writing this one down because this is my favorite reason for starting a webcomic ever. I had a B12 deficiency. I got me some B12, bitches.
I wish it was a shot just for that. Like, kind of having a bad day. Shot. Oh, man. This is the best day ever.
I feel so jacked right now.
It's like that Lonely Island skit. Did you see that? I don't know why this day is going to be a great day. Do you watch that or no?
No. I've watched a bunch of Lonely Island. I've never seen that one.
Oh, man. It's hilarious. It's basically like, what is it? Andy Samberg? Yeah. He is this guy who wakes, he like just gets up really quick from bed, and he has like just smeared white powder under his nose and like red eyes, and just goes into this like really fast paced song, like, I don't know why, but today's gonna feel like, wait, today feels like it's gonna be a great day, and he's just like running around, and it's all fast paced and hilarious. You gotta check it out. It's really good.
Is it one of the digital shorts?
Yeah, it's one of their digital shorts. But yeah, I felt like that. I was just like, bam, creative mode.
Wow.
Okay, so for everybody at home, if you don't have a B12 deficiency, cocaine will do the trick.
Oh, man.
Don't do drugs, stay in school.
Please note, drugs.com does not endorse getting hooked on cocaine.
Let's just go with it.
Wait, I got it. All right, this is great. All right, you're in New York already, so we're going to come down there, you get us some cocaine, and we'll all make a comic together, and it'll be the greatest thing on the planet.
I'm pretty sure we'll all just get coked up and not really do much.
Yeah, we'll just talk about our lives.
God.
We'll think we have a webcomic, but really, it's just a cardboard box that we thought was a computer.
Well, it'll be that your last comic this week where you know, oh man, I'm gonna do so many great things. I can't wait to see what life has for me next. Dumpster,
sadness. Yeah. This is actually really funny about that comic. I feel bad because I know that my grandmother's gonna be listening to this later, so I'm sorry for mentioning your grandma. But
Can I clean up my language?
She's like number one fan. She's been listening, watching, or reading my comic from like day one. Probably has the most amount of Facebook likes out there that a person can have for my comic. But yeah, so I post that comic, and that was like after How to Be an Adult and like a couple others that were really kind of not like depressing, but like funny depressing, you know?
Right.
And so she sends me a Facebook message, and she's like, Matt, I'm getting worried about you. I've noticed your comics are sad. And I was just like, oh.
Wait until she finds out about your cocaine plan.
Crap, we gotta edit that out.
No, and she's gonna be like, I don't want you talking to those Canadian boys anymore. They're a bad influence. I'm sorry, I have no idea if that's how your grandmother sounds. And is like, I'm sorry, that's grandmother, for making fun of any of that.
I'm sure I'll get a call after this one.
We just got in trouble with his grandmother.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Okay, so I have kind of a fun question, and this sure. one, this one, if it stays in, it stays in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So feel free to tell me if you don't want this one to be in here. But I wanted to ask you about Twitter.
Okay.
Because I've noticed a fun little thing with your numbers. The day I started following you, like the last two, like I started following you well before the holidays, and it's like, oh, you know, yeah, you got like about, you know, average starting numbers kind of a thing, and then all of a sudden January hits, and I was like, oh shit, he's at like 1,000, and then it's like the next week it was like, whoa, no, 2,000, and I was like, it's over 5,000, and I'm like, wow, seriously, I mean, congrats, that's awesome.
It's not congratulations worthy. I'm kind of weird about it, actually, because I've been thinking about doing it for a while, and one day I was just like, you know what, I gotta push this comic harder, I gotta like stop being a bitch about it in my mind, you know, because you know, because people, they tend to use Twitter, and I think this is still like a good way to do it if you have the audience, as just like a way to like basically connect with your fans.
Right.
But like I don't really have fans yet. You know, I got like maybe a couple hundred people that come to my site on a weekly. I mean, like, you know, it varies, but you know, like I would say, like, if I had to quantify readership, I'd maybe have you know, 400 or 500 people that read my comic. So that's like, that's good. Doesn't really translate into anything on Twitter, I guess. And I love Twitter for its ability to like connect, for like, you know, networking with you guys, with all the other webcomic artists out there. And I still do that by putting all your names in like, you know, lists, you know, so I can like keep track of what you guys are doing. But one day I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to push this Twitter really hard and see if I can't get some more followers. So basically what I did is I started following, like, I know it's a weird practice because like people will think of this as like almost like spamming, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet, but I do know that the results have been good. So I don't know. Basically I started following all these people and they followed me back. And then what I did is I had an auto message go out to everyone that followed me to like my Facebook page. So it's been linking up pretty well because, you know, you follow, say, like 1,000 people in a week, and maybe like 5% of those people follow you back. Or no, like maybe like, you know, 30% follow you back, right? And then of that 30%, like 1% to 2% will actually, you know, look at your website, and then they might comment on it and say something about it, and then they might actually like my Facebook page. And in the last month, I've gotten like, you know, 200-plus likes on Facebook, which is, you know, three times, or, you know, now I'm at three times where I was before. So it was, in terms of getting people to see the website, see my comic, I think it's been really successful because I'm getting new readers. People are commenting. Of the thousands of people that I've pushed my comic to, maybe 1%, 2% have actually, liked the comic enough to keep reading it. But I feel like that's free advertising. And I feel like, why wouldn't you do that? But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, that sounds like a really good plan. But how have you been selecting who you follow? Are you like, all right, Aaron A. Aronson, follow. Aaron B. Aronson, follow.
No, there are a lot of programs out there that you can use. Right now I'm using Just Unfollow, which sounds terrible. But basically what it does...
I've heard of this.
The reason why I'm using it is because it has an option in the program. It's actually not even a program, and you can pay for the service for something. I think it's like $5 a month. Although I'm going to probably drop it soon because I've kind of reached my peak, I think. I don't think I want to do it anymore. Now that I've hit like 6,000, I'm kind of like, all right, this is getting kind of ridiculous. But yeah, so it's like $5 a month. And it has this option where you can like type in a Twitter name and it'll give you all of their people. And then you can follow them. And the good thing about it is that after like a couple weeks, you unfollow all the people that didn't follow you back because those are just like names on a list that don't really matter.
Right.
You know, they're not following you and they're just, you know, whatever. So I don't want to be the kind of guy who's like always bugging them to follow me. So the good thing about this is that it has an option where you can filter out people you've already followed. So I'm never like following the same person like 5 or 6 times, annoying them, you know, to hell. So yeah, I don't know. I do that, and it gets me new readers, and it gets me new followers that also follow other webcomics that I consider similar to my own. And so there's like a good turnaround in that sense. And also, I know it's not as good as like having 10,000 followers and all those people just found you because they found your webcomic. Clearly, those are better followers.
Yeah, but realistically, I mean, you do have to start somewhere.
And you've got yourself positioned in a really good place. Like, I want to say that I'm really impressed that you were able to generate that kind of, and I get it. I get that the numbers are the numbers. There's a very, very superficial meaning around anything, be it upvotes, Facebook likes, Twitter followers, stumbles, whatever the fuck term they've got out there.
Still,
kudos to you on managing to crank that said artificial number up on Twitter.
Yeah, and you know it is artificial because they're not real. They're not fans in the same way that Penny Arcade has fans, or that, you know, I mean, whoever else has fans. But they are people that do click on the links that I send out, and that's like me. And then, you know, so like I have 5,000 followers, and I also use a program called 14 Blocks. I don't know if you use that. But it's a program that allows you to it basically goes through your followers and it figures out when people are online, when they're tweeting. And so, like, it'll tell you, like, you know, 1 o'clock, 500 people are on Twitter. This is your best shot to get people looking at your link, right, or at your tweet. So I'll do that, like, you know, once or twice a day. Although I haven't been doing it lately because the perk gun's been acting weird.
All right, so you've been gaming this shit. You've been...
Yeah.
You've been beating the game.
Yeah, you're working it. You're working it. Shake that moneymaker.
Yeah. I've been pushing it, and I don't really feel good about it. You know, I'm not like waking up in the morning and like, I got 5,000 followers. Oh shit, I'm so great. It's just like, it's kind of like a superficial number, because all it really turns out to be is a market for me to sell my comic, I guess. So
yeah,
like,
but that's...
I'll post a comic, and I'll post the tweet for the comic, the link, and I'll get like, you know, 40 to 50 hits. I never got those numbers before. And, you know, it's like, it just seems like it's too successful to feel bad about.
Don't undersell that, though.
You're trying to self-promote, but it's very difficult if you have a certain personality type to do that shamelessly.
Yeah.
And we have a hell of a time with that. We're awful, awful self-promoters. Go to Twex.com. We're not good at it.
Twex.com.
Twex.com, yeah.
Now I feel bad because it was John that posted on Twitter. Somebody was complaining about how in the middle of podcasts, or like, I hate the fact that on podcasts, the people that are hosting it try and promote their shit.
What do you mean,
and that's annoying. I know, right? And then John said, you know who doesn't do that? The Brothers Oliver at Twex.com.
That's 4 or 5 times now you've said your website. So.
That's not even true, Twex.com.
Twex.com. By the way, if you want to advertise on Twex.com. Okay.
Hey.
Oh, but, I love it.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling that you'd ask that question. I was worried that I was being too visible about it. But, I mean, because I'm also in the same place. I'm right there with you guys. I feel weird doing it. Like, I'm not so shameless in it. But at the same time, it's been successful, I guess, in a way. So I feel like I have to keep, like, it's just, you know, promoting. It's promoting your thing. And everyone on Twitter is promoting, you know. I mean, there's really two realms of Twitter. It's the promotional side where you're promoting your brand or your business or your name or whatever. And then there's the other side where you're just keeping up with the people that you like to follow. And I do both of those things pretty well. You know, like I said, I put all the people that I follow, like religiously, in their lists, you know. And so I still use Twitter for that. But on the other side, I also use it to, you know, reach new followers without having to spend money on Project Wonderful ads. And keeping them in my bank of people that I can push to. I don't know. So it's been interesting, I would say.
Genius.
Yeah. But seriously. I'm definitely not proud of it.
So. I'm going to have to try some of that. No, of course you're not.
Shameful
self-promotion. Yeah, shameful self-promotion. We subscribe to that. Totally.
Yeah.
So tell us about your hate mail, hate comic situation.
We enjoyed that link with the comic you did that was,
Separation of Church and State.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, yeah.
And you had we enjoyed the situation. We had something somewhat similar happen. We're curious how you felt about that happening.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm trying to think when it was, because I don't think it's up on my website anymore. I took a bunch of them down. So I'm trying to remember when it was, but I think it was probably like around April or May. So that was like 2 months into the comic's like conception. And I was just like blown away that somebody cared enough to respond to a comic that I had done, not just through a comment, but by changing the words of my actual comic. It was really kind of like it blew me away so much that I was almost like flattered in a weird way. I was like, wow. People read this comic, I guess.
I offended someone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I had elicited an actual emotional response from a random stranger to the point where they felt the need to tell me so, not just with like a 5-second comment, but they downloaded the file, they put it up on Photoshop, they replaced all the words, they did the whole thing. It was just, I was blown away by it.
You inspired not just vitriol, but like vitriol with effort associated with it.
Exactly.
Because that's serious effort. I mean, they retexted the comic.
I know. It was hilarious. I mean, part of me felt bad about it, you know, obviously, because your work is being brought into question. And I kind of felt like maybe I should be less political. And I actually have, but just because my mind has been moving in that direction. When I posted that comic, it was, you know, it was less than a year after I graduated. So I studied politics, international politics, like I said. And what, that was the, yeah, I mean, the election was coming up, so everyone was talking politics and all that crap. So yeah, I was in a more political mindset.
So but did you steer away from politics as a conscious choice? Or did you just feel different?
I mean, it definitely wasn't because of that guy. Let me just put that out there right now. Like, when he did that, I just thought it was funny as hell. That's why I posted it, because he commented on my site, and I have to approve comments, so I could have just deleted that comment and never told anyone about it. But I thought it was so funny that I, you know, I posted it in my blog.
Some of them are just prize-worthy.
Yeah, I know.
It was the Garfield one. That one in particular.
Oh, yeah, you had a pretty good
one. I got double hit on that one. I actually had somebody say, I can't wait until, you know, they come after you and sue you for what you've done here.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I mean, I think somebody responded to that comment, like, egging the guy on, like, saying, yeah
do
darn
it.
Darn right.
Yeah, do it. Make it happen. Like, whatever.
Let's have a company that has the power to sue them into homelessness attack them and their families.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That would be suitable to the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Equal response.
Exactly. Yeah. So quick question, just because you mentioned it. You said you took down a bunch of comics.
I did, yeah. That was also one of those things that I've done in the last couple months, that and Twitter, that I don't know how I feel about yet. In one way, I feel like it accomplished what I meant it to do. In another way, I feel like it's stupid. But I just thought that they were so bad and that anyone reading them would just think bad things about them. So I was just like, you know what? I am out here, you know, on a regular basis trying to, you know, do good work, and I want people to come and see that good work and like it and keep coming back and all that crap. I think I've said that, all that crap phrase, like 7 times in the last 15 minutes. But anyways, so I did it for that reason. I wasn't proud of them, and I thought, you know, here I am. The majority of what I'm doing is trying to get new readers, and if that's what my thing is right now, then it only hurts me to have this bad content. And,
was it really that bad? Or are you being too hard on yourself?
I mean, definitely in comparison it was bad, but I don't know, I could be being hard on myself. Obviously when I posted it, I thought it was
So there's
good.
A reason I'm only letting Colin talk right now.
Yeah, because you agree with me, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm just sitting here, I'm just like, wow, this is like watching the conversation take place. Between myself and Colin.
This is exactly why I brought it up, because we do have those comics
and
at
I
the beginning.
And I still think I'd like to take them down.
Okay, see, but here's the difference. You don't have the convenience of being able to split your personality into the guy who did the writing and the guy who did the art. Brandon is so ashamed of those first several months of making the comic because he can't stand the art.
I don't hate the jokes. I don't think the jokes
that's
are that
the,
bad
that,
in a lot of cases.
That's why I
But
like
if I
them.
Have to look at them any... Yeah, but then let me touch them, fix them. God damn it,
you hit a sore point. I love it.
I have some opinions on this, though, actually. You do bring up a really good point that the writing is still really great. And it's the art that's suffering here. And I feel the same way about my comics, actually. Like, I feel like the jokes are still good, and I still want people to be exposed to those jokes. It's just that I feel like the art holds it back. And I've been weighing back and forth, either redoing them, as Brandon said, or actually just putting them behind a Facebook wall. I don't know how to do that yet, but I was thinking maybe in the future...
talked about.
We talked about a Facebook wall, and we also talked about a wall that's just on the website.
That's like almost a separate archive.
Yeah, if you go to the archive, you'll get to a certain date, but there's a link you can go, do you want to see Twext Classic, I think we were calling it, and then you can go see the black and whites.
And I, honestly, I still think I really want to do that.
And I'm game for that. The only reason we haven't done that is because we haven't had time.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, when are we going to do that?
Yeah, I don't know if you read a Saturday morning breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, on their archives, they have that. He has that same thing.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, I got that idea. I also have been thinking about that, too. But yeah, it seems, I'm right there with you. I don't have the time. And also, I feel like it's not worth it yet for me. I'm thinking to myself, like, I could wait a couple years and then maybe release it as, like, look at the classics that you never saw, because most of you that are reading this comic today didn't read the comic, you know, in the beginning. And so it'll be like a bonus thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'm right there with you, Brandon. I feel like, well, I don't know if you feel the same way about it as I do, but I feel like it behooves me to give new readers good content.
Yes.
And bad art detracts from that.
And that's just it. I want my best foot forward has only been, in my opinion, within the last year and a half. And
you got to remember, a year and a half for us is half of our comic base.
I understand that. I do. I really, really do.
But half.
When somebody comes and clicks, yeah, but we got a lot of shit. We have a lot of content.
Yes.
3 years is a long fucking time. Half of that is still a lot.
Here's my opinion. If you're going through someone's archive and you have been going through it for so long that you get to the point in their archive where the art starts to get, like, weird, you know, and it's like, oh, this isn't the comic that I know, but I'm still going to read it because I love this webcomic and I'm going to read every single fucking one because I want to read every single one.
The problem is the guy who goes on, reads one comic, goes, ha, 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 first.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is that person is going to find your comics no matter where they are.
Yeah.
So if you do put those behind a wall on the site, like SNBC does, those people that want to read it, they're probably going to find it.
It doesn't bother me if people find it. It's just,
I'm agreed on the wall. I don't disagree with the wall. I'm against removing access to the content. I don't think that it's right to be so ashamed of it that you hide it as if it never occurred.
It never happened. I'm rewriting history.
The worst thing you can do, though, and I don't want to name names because we've had somewhat of a rapport, but there's this guy that I've been kind of following since the beginning, when I started my webcomic, and what he started doing is he not only took off a lot of the earlier ones, but then he started bringing them back as new content. And I had just happened to be in a place where I was reading all of his stuff, so I knew all of his jokes. I knew a lot of them, you know? And so he started, like, posting them and not saying that it was new, that it was, like, updated content. It was, like, as though he were posting new content for the first time, and he didn't mention anything about before. And I saw that, and he did it, like, at least 10 or 15 times. And I think he still does it today, and I'm just like, I don't know, it kind of, that really annoys me for some reason.
Huh.
But is updated visuals, or?
No, yeah, updated visuals. The jokes are exactly the same. Right. And here's the thing, I don't want to go, I can't go into detail because I don't want to offend the guy, but his art hasn't gotten that much better, in my opinion. I don't know, maybe people can say that of mine as well, but I feel like he's doing it for no reason. And it's kind of just annoying, but yeah.
I mean, no, and that's just it. I mean, I've talked about that. I would never, there might be a couple that I'd be like, I'd really like to put some polish on them to see how I would do them today.
Yeah.
But I would not want to go back
through. If
you repost
them, you'd say originally posted in date. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would totally own up to that. And I wouldn't do it for too many because that time is better spent on writing new material and new content and continuing to deliver it, not dwelling on the past and
oh boy,
did we ever stumble onto that one?
You know who did it well, I thought, was Merkworks. I think he did he redid a couple new ones from his archive, but yeah, I don't know, I just feel like it's weird.
I agree.
It's a weird thing.
No disagreement here. All right, it is time for questions from the Twitterverse.
Okay. Bring it on.
Starting with John of John's crazy tweets. Which Oliver brother is more awesome?
Let's see here. Should I break some hearts? Let's see. Well, I know for a fact that one of you is a doppelganger, so the one that's not.
Wait, which one of us is a doppelganger?
I'll leave that to the readers to decide.
That's probably me.
You're the doppelganger.
You're
the doppelganger.
Yeah.
You're totally the doppelganger.
Brandon, I guess, is the answer.
I guess I'm the awesome.
God, sorry. When was I a doppelganger?
No, I think that you're both equally awesome. I don't love either of you more than the other.
Except you bought me nicer toys last Christmas.
That's because you are more creative in your Christmas list, so.
Ooh, snap! What?
I'm going to steal all your presents and replace them with coal. All right, Brad Joyce asks, I don't fully understand this question, but if time travel was possible, how many times would you need to go back to stop being an actor in that clap commercial?
Oh my God. That is excellent.
And the follow-up from Johansson is, or the guy in the ear-cleaning commercial, ouch.
Let's see, how many times? You would need to go into the future for things to restart.
you're relying on cyclical time here?
Of course. It's actually a blatant ripoff of Futurama.
I've seen that episode. That's good.
Wow.
I wish I had a longer and more interesting thing to say to that. Really, though, would I want to go back in time to change those things? Because those are life choices that I made. I'm willing to stick by them.
Sticking to your guns.
Sticking to your...
Look, it's how I became famous. I mean, you know, what else do I have? This webcomic.
Okay, Daniel Barton of Uber and Cindy asks, what is your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert is black coffee.
Wow, nice.
Bitter, okay. Like my soul.
That's how I drink it, black and empty.
Every morning I just have a hot, empty mug.
Could you eat this mug in the microwave?
I heat it and breathe in the air.
I just hold it. It's just, what are you doing? It's empty, just like me.
Yeah. I need to be holding something that feels like coffee, but every time I go and sip, I'm disappointed. Much like life.
Wow. Okay, so at Cool Pillows asks, what other recurring characters might you do in the coming year?
I don't know. Definitely gonna bring back Hover Beast because he just looks so funny.
I like Hover Beast.
I like Hover Beast too.
I have a new thing coming up next week that's definitely gonna be a recurring thing. Can't really say what it is because it's not there yet, but I'm gonna be doing a week like special of it, so it's gonna be three posts, and I'm definitely gonna bring that back because it's just too fucking hilarious not to. Definitely gonna bring back Stealth Horse, if you know what that is. I have him actually ready to go. I think he's gonna be up in April. I'm not entirely sure. Being unemployed has allowed me to write a ridiculous amount of comics, so I do not need to worry about that for at least 2 months. Let me think. Oh, I was toying with the idea of bringing back the Tiny Hat Brigade, which is hilarious. And they're just a couple of people that sit around tables and talk about the important things. Also, they wear tiny hats. So, that is that.
I like it.
And I think it begs to be brought back. yeah, I think I had one more, I think. Oh, yeah, there's this one comic that I did where it was my character sitting at a desk and he, like, saw, like, a door, kind of like the, like, John Malkovich movie, you know? So he, like, opens the door and he, like, walks in. And or he crawls into a tunnel and he comes out and it's like a different dimension with like crazy colors. And I just kind of ended the joke on like a snarky remark by the interdimensional beings that he discovered. But I was thinking about doing like a short series with that guy just wandering around in this world. So, yeah, those are the only ideas I have currently. But, you know.
Right on.
Very cool.
I don't bring back characters nearly enough as I should, and I've been thinking about doing it more recently, so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, this last one is from us.
All right.
If an asteroid was coming towards Earth and you could save the world by giving something up, would you give up your ability to eat or your manhood?
Here's a question. If I am not eating anymore, am I still... Am I allowed to live?
Yeah, in both cases, you will... So giving up eating or the ability to have sex, basically, you would continue to live independent of your lack of either thing, but you have to give up one of the two things.
I mean, I'm a sex god, so I can't do that to the ladies, you know? It's just, it would be unfair to everyone.
And that's for your grandmother right there.
I mean, Grandma, I'm very respectful to all the ladies, and I don't fiddle with their naughty bits, and oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah, I never kiss on the first date. Mostly because that's uncouth, but, you know. Definitely would not get rid of my manhood. I would be surprised to find any man saying that.
It's true.
Yeah.
And hey, you wouldn't have to eat to live. That kind of gives you an advantage.
It's true, actually. That's a good point. Well, you can't even eat, though.
Yeah.
You're eating, you can't eat.
You're also going to be the same weight forever.
Yeah.
But you would still crave all the foods that you love, so it would just
you probably
be
would. So that would kind of be torture.
Just sex your problems
somebody
away.
Somebody be sitting there eating, what was that, the disco salad or what?
Disco fries.
The disco fries.
The disco bitch salad, was that
the disco, the Mc, can I have a McDisco bitch, please?
I feel like it's, you know, it comes down to giving up something that is only for you and giving up someone that you share, or giving up something that you share.
Aww. So. Look at that. He made it not about his penis, and he made it about sharing it.
You know what? I am a caring individual.
I'm caring, and you will not allow that to go unshared. And that, I appreciate that about you. I respect that. Respect.
Respect.
Respect. Wow.
So, yeah.
Cool. Oh, okay.
Next question.
next question. I don't even know what to do with that anymore. We've just learned so much about everything.
Guess we got to go back to the normal questions.
God damn it.
What are your goals and plans for the future?
Well, you really had to ask that like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I've been on a lot of interviews lately, so I do not want to answer that question.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years?
I see myself working for your organization.
Yeah. All right, you're hired. You're going to work for Twex.com. We pay next to nothing.
In fact, you have to pay us.
That's actually not good for me, the last part. But I will work for next to nothing, as long as it is a step above nothing.
I'm thinking about this. Oh, seriously. What can we offer?
We'll get back to you.
We'll work on your offer.
I have internet access, so...
Ooh.
Bonus.
I have internet access, and my girlfriend just topped up my domain for another year.
So, yeah, observer to exist, Sugar Mama.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah.
You've got to be thankful for that, man.
Totally thankful for that. Yeah.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thing right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to pay her back, obviously. And it was like a couple, you know, it was like however much domains cost these days. But yeah, it was definitely a clutch move from the Ladybird.
She won't get upset with you until she's funding that coke habit.
that those Canadian boys helped start.
Yes, until she does. No, actually, she's like, if without her, Observer 2 Exist literally would not exist for that reason. Also, she like scans every single one of my comics. I don't know if I've said that enough in the blogs, but every time I write a comic and draw one, I give it to her, and she graciously takes it to work and scans it on her free time. So yeah, everyone, round of applause for Allison.
Wow, that's a fantastic shout out.
Yeah.
I hope that works out well for you later.
You're a bad person,
bro. I know, I'm a terrible person. That's what they pay me for. Oh god.
Look, I want you to apologize to his grandmother right now.
I'm sorry.
That's better.
I'm sorry. I'm a man child, and I like to make the poop and the booby jokes, preferably not in the same context, but in some cases, yeah, okay. Kind of in the same.
All right, say something else to stop him from talking.
Good though, you know.
We're sitting at about the hour mark now, so this brings us to our final question of the evening.
Do it.
Do you have any questions for us?
Boom. Yes. When the fuck are you going to do Tips for Immortals again? Because I need it in my life.
We do have plans.
Yep. We have a few more written.
That's awesome.
I don't know when they're going to go up again.
So wow.
They're really solid, man.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm gonna go ahead and lay it on you, real talk wise. When I started webcomics and I reached out on Twitter, there was so much noise, right? Like all these new webcomics I'd never heard of. And I found you guys and I, you know, looked at it once in a while. When that shit hit the fan, I was like, damn, next level. I am reading this shit every day. Like, you guys really, it was really, really great. I'm just going to say that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, like, I can't get no speech.
I don't know. Like, before this thing, I didn't give a shit about you guys.
I like that. For this thing, you guys were trite, and then you did it. It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. Like, one of the things that we've been talking about lately, it's probably come up on certain occasions, is that time management. You know, trying to do even, you know, a twice weekly strip and podcasting and all the other things we do with the comic stuff, it's like, oh, there's so many other things I would love to work on, and if everybody would just dump a nice big mountain of money on my lap right now, I would have that shit drawn and out the door.
And
but like that,
like when it comes to something like Tips for Immortals, that writing that was, I don't know, I felt more nervous about putting that content out on the website than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, a joke is you know, people don't laugh and whatever. It's not going to be everybody's taste, but that felt really good to get that stuff out, and I really appreciate your praise and would like to do more because it was some of the more satisfying stuff that I've been able to put out.
So maybe we just say no. Maybe we do another summer special.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's nice to keep your readers expecting a certain schedule. Although I would prefer a Monday strip every week, so I get on that. But
snap!
I cannot for your time.
I cannot for your time. Give me my content.
yeah. But no, I guess yeah, man, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can't praise it enough, but when I was reading those comics and I was just like eager for more. And then when it stopped, I was devastated. So, I mean, not really, obviously. We're not talking real emotions here. We're talking internet emotions. But no, I really read those comics and I really, really love them. So
stop praising it. I don't know how to handle it.
Colin's here because this is Tips for Immortals is completely Colin's baby. I mean, I done slapped the art on there. But he's doing the nervous. He's doing his foot thing and he's kind of playing with his hand a bit.
Stop describing what I'm doing.
What do I do? He's saying nice things about me. God, we need to do like an entire episode on two things. Part one, becoming a better shameless self-promoter. Part two, yeah. Accepting praise.
I'll work on that.
Yes, sir. I'll get right on that.
I just lock up. I just freeze up and make like squeaky noises until they leave.
It's supposed to work. Oh, that's it's a defense response.
That's good then. So I can throw this out there and let's see what happens. I really, really appreciate your art style, by the way. I'm not just doing that on purpose. I really do.
What?
Yeah, no. I didn't get to insert any commentary throughout the whole thing, but then he said that. I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can actually compliment him, and I can make him make a weird noise.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. I do try to make it look interesting. I don't know. So I don't fancy myself a good writer, so I try to overcompensate with the art. So I mean, I'm definitely not where I want to be with my line work, but yeah, I don't know. Thanks.
Brandon was excited to draw the guest strip that we did for you because he's like, I want to draw those characters.
He was all over it. I was quite excited.
That's awesome.
Actually, yeah. You know what? It's funny. I think I get excited about doing guest stuff sometimes more than even just drawing the regular comic because it is a change from.
Yeah, totally.
You get to exercise a different part of your brain because, like, ooh, how am I going to draw this character? Like,
yeah.
How is my version going to come out? And then you just hope that when you finish it, that you're not like, oh my God, they're going to hate it. Oh my God, I've massacred it. Oh God, damn it. Curl up in a corner.
Their intellectual property forever.
Okay, so this is what I want you to do. I'd like you to walk outside. I would like you to burn this, and I would like you to never speak to me again.
I'm going to block your IP from looking at my site.
So. I don't want you to look at my intellectual property ever again.
Oh man!
For fear that you might get inspired. Oh wow, that was beautiful. Okay, you know what? Yeah, we gotta end it on that then. I am Brandon of Twex.com.
I'm Colin of Twex.com.
And I am Matt of ObserveToExist.com with the hyphens. So
good night, remember folks. The hyphens.
Don't forget the hyphens.